Usually I like to share another verse of scripture with you at this time just to help sort of interpret what the scriptures say, but I've decided against sharing a scripture with you this morning. Rather, I'm going to share something I learned from a Sunday school teacher in Mississippi. Her name is Sharon Keel. And you know, there were the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and they had sort of different beliefs. One believed in the resurrection and the other didn't. And so Sharon said this to help us remember which one of them believed and which one of them didn't. She said, "The Sadducees are sad, you see, because they don't believe in the resurrection." I think that's, you know, there's oftentimes you learn little things like that to help you remember. So she said that we need to repeat this in order to fix it in our brain. So after me, the Sadducees are sad, you see.
The Sadducees are sad, you see.
Because they don't believe in the resurrection.
Because they don't believe in the resurrection.
Very, very good. Now you'll never forget that. Well, several years ago, there was a rather famous discussion that happened in a place I know very, very well, Southern Methodist University in Dallas, Texas. Sometime before I arrived there to begin my seminary education, Dr. Carlisle Marney, a cantankerous old Baptist preacher, came to campus to give a rather famous lecture. And during the question and answer period after the lecture, a young theologue queried, "Dr. Marney, would you say a word or two about the resurrection from the dead?" After a long pause, Marney replied, "I will not discuss the resurrection with people like you. I don't discuss such things with anybody under 30. Well, as you can imagine, that young man was quite shocked. He just sort of stood there speechless. So Marty continued, "Look at you all, in the prime of life, never have you known honest to God failure, heartburn, impotency, solid defeat, brick walls, or mortality. You're extremely apt and handsome, white kids who have never in all your lives been more than 30 miles from home or 20 minutes into the New Testament or more than half of a mile from some Baptist or Methodist church or within 1,000 miles of any issue that mattered in a kingdom that matters. So what can you know of a world that only makes sense if Christ is raised?" I've always liked that. And I told you about that because that conversation has striking similarities to the conversation that I just read to you from the Gospel of Luke. It's the conversation that Jesus had with a group of Sadducees just a day or two after he entered Jerusalem on that day we call Palm Sunday. It was interesting, to say the least, especially since we know that it happened during Holy Week and that Good Friday and Easter were just around the corner. Before we get into that conversation, however, I feel this need to remind you that for the past few Sundays, we've been looking at biblical characters who, for some reason or another, just didn't get it. We have looked at those people who, despite all of the explanation in the world, constantly miss the point. Now, I've used Barney Fife and Cliff Clavin and Danny DeVito as humorous contemporary examples. Let me add to that list by adding Franklin Delano Marion Burns. Anybody know who that is? You might know him better as Major Frank Burns, the tent mate of Captains Hawkeye Pierce and Trapper John McIntyre, and affectionately known to the 4077th MASH as Ferret Face. While his set in stone ideas on just about everything caused him to humorously miss the point on numerous occasions, there is little humor in those who do so when it comes to faith. So far, the Gospel of Luke has given us two examples, two prime examples of those whose inability to get it was just not funny. In the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector, you may remember, the Pharisee didn't get the fact that all his good works didn't amount to a hill of beans when it came to the goodness of God. In the story of Zacchaeus, the crowd couldn't begin to get the fact that God's embrace was so much larger than anything they could ever hope to imagine. Well, today Luke gives us one more example of those who were not able to get it. Today's story really doesn't have a title. It does, however, have loads of people whose preconceived ideas cause them to continuously miss the point. And let's take a look, and you could take old Frank off, because him looking over my shoulder just really is strange. So you could take him off the screen there. Well, as I've already mentioned, this story takes place on either Monday or Tuesday of Holy Week. While Jesus was teaching in the temple, a group of Sadducees approached him. Now, the Sadducees were a very interesting lot. We often lump them together with the Pharisees, but in reality, they were very different, and they really didn't even like each other. While both were thoroughly Jewish, the Sadducees were mainly a governing body. The Pharisees were mainly a religious body. The Sadducees were more often than not associated with the temple and the keeping of its traditions. The Pharisees, on the other hand, were always associated with the synagogues and its teachings. The Pharisees, it took years of hard work and study for them to be able to gain their position in Jewish life. The Sadducees inherited their position, and they flaunted their legacy on a continual basis. These two groups were as different could be. And when it came to what they believed, there was even more difference. The Sadducees were the skeptics and the cynics of the day. They were the ones that Jesus often called hypocrites and a wicked and adulterous generation. The Sadducees only accepted the Torah, the first five books of the Old Testament, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, as their authority. That's all they accepted. The Pharisees, on the other hand, they accepted the Torah, plus all those other books that we have come to know as the Old Testament. While both groups anticipated the coming of some kind of Messiah, the Sadducees were not as anxious for his coming as they viewed it as a potential disruption of their very well-ordered lives. And most importantly for today's story, while the Pharisees believed in a resurrection, our old friends, the Sadducees, did not. Death, they said, was the end of everything. And that caused them to be sad, you see. Now that very important piece of information brings us to this morning's lesson. The Sadducees heard everything that Jesus was saying, but they really didn't understand what Jesus was talking about. To make matters worse, they really didn't want to understand what Jesus was talking about. Like that student at Dr. Marnie's lecture, this group of Sadducees seemed to already have their minds made up. Let me remind you of the Sadducees' question by telling the story again, and this time from a different translation. Listen very closely. Teacher, Moses wrote that if a man dies and leaves a wife but no child, his brother is obligated to take the widow to wife and get her with child. Well, once there were seven brothers. The first took a wife. He died childless. The second married her and died. And then the third. And eventually all seven had their turn, but no child. After that, the wife died. That wife now, in the resurrection, whose wife will she be? All seven married her. Now, you don't have to be the Son of God to see what the Sadducees were trying to do. Like that student at Dr. Marnie's lecture, they understood the resurrection as nothing more than a topic to be debated. And obviously they would take the con side in the debate. And if in the process of that debate, an uneducated country preacher from Nazareth happened to be embarrassed, well then, so much the better. So they approached Jesus with a ridiculous premise designed to do nothing more than prove their point. Well, Jesus saw right through their game. And he responded to them using some of their own logic and their own beliefs. He answered their questions with the following words. Marriage is a major preoccupation here, but not there. Those who are included in the resurrection of the dead will no longer be concerned with marriage, of course, marriage or, of course, with death. They will have even better things to think about. All ecstasies and intimacies will be with God. Even Moses exclaimed about the resurrection at the burning bush, saying, God, God of Abraham, God of Isaac, God of Jacob. God isn't the God of dead men, but the God of the living. To him, everyone is alive. Well, Jesus' answer turned the tables on the Sadducees and left them speechless. It showed them how wrong they happened to be. Their nice little plan had marvelously, however you say that word, it had backfired on them. But Jesus' answer was intended to do far more than simply show how wrong-headed they happened to be about an important theological idea. It showed them how and why they didn't get it. It showed them how far their preconceived ideas and already answered questions had taken them from God's truth. I wonder if you and I are in the same boat. I wonder if our preconceived ideas and already answered questions keep us from understanding what Jesus was and is trying to say. I ran across a very interesting article this past week. Several years ago, Christopher Chabris and Daniel Simons conducted a study that has become quite well known. Groups of various volunteers were asked to watch a video of a group of six basketball players moving around the court. Three of the players wore white shirts, while the other three wore black shirts. The volunteers were all asked to count the number of times that the basketball players in the white shirts passed the ball. Now, group after group watched the tape of these six basketball players. In practically every instance, most of the volunteers became so focused on the assigned task, counting the times that the basketball was passed between those players wearing white shirts, that they failed to see a person dressed in a gorilla suit walking right across the basketball court. Just think about that for a minute. You could go and look, Google theinvisiblegorilla.com, and you could watch this for yourself. But you already know that there's going to be a gorilla walking across the court, so it's not going to affect you. But it's a very interesting thing. Those results led Chabris and Simons to conclude that when people have preconceived ideas about what may happen, they often tend to miss what actually happens. To take that idea a step further, if someone already has his or her mind made up, he or she will never be able to get it. Now, as I told you, I want you to go home, Google theinvisiblegorilla.com and watch that thing for yourself and show it to somebody who has no idea about what's going on. Do you get it? Do you get it? Jesus had no patience with those who already had their minds made up. Jesus had no patience with those who were unwilling to let go of their preconceived ideas. And Jesus had no patience with those people whose questions were not real. That is probably why Luke ended this particular story by saying, none of them, the Sadducees that is, none of them dared to put any more questions to him. No one dared to put any more questions to him. But while the Sadducees may have been afraid to ask him another question, that does not mean you should be. Jesus always has time for those whose questions are real. He always has time for those whose questions lead them to a deeper relationship with him. Did you know that the word question and the word quest have the same Latin root? That Latin root is questio, or to seek. To seek. To ask a real question, you see, is to begin a journey, to start a quest, to begin traveling towards the truth. If we already know the answer we want to hear, then there is no need to go on a journey, is there? If we already have our preconceived ideas about how life works, then we have no need to travel or even attempt to go on a journey with Jesus. Jesus did not come to us to confirm our biases and ideas, you see. Jesus came to challenge our understandings and to provide us with answers that we cannot uncover by ourselves. Jesus tells the Sadducees of this world that there are gorillas walking all over the basketball court, that there is so much more to life than they can see, and that the kingdom of God has come and is coming to usher in a world that they can't even begin to comprehend. And unless they are willing to go with Jesus on that journey, they will never ever see it. I wonder if the same could be said for what we have come to call the Lord's Supper. Can't you hear people just like the Sadducees, those unable to let go of their preconceived ideas, asking Jesus something like this? Teacher, Moses gave our ancestors manna in the wilderness, and all who ate were saved from death. All you give us is a scrap of bread and a swig of Welch's grape juice. Such a small amount will not save us from death. Will they be fed in the resurrection of the dead? Seeing right through people like those Sadducees, perhaps Jesus would answer with something like this. Your ancestors ate manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread that comes from heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that comes down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever. Do you get it? Don't let your biases and your preconceived ideas on what a supper is supposed to be dull you to the power of this particular meal. Don't let your preconceived ideas of what it means to be fed to allow you to miss the life-giving nutrition that this simple meal can give you. Those who ask questions like the Sadducees look at this particular meal and see only a loaf of bread and two cups of grape juice. Those who ask real questions look at this meal and see everything that God has ever intended to give you. It seems to me that whether it is the resurrection or the Lord's Supper, you have a choice about the questions you ask. It's my greatest hope this morning that you will ask honest questions. And let us pray. Oh God, help our preconceived notion and ideas, help them not to keep us from the truth that you want to give us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.